You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108.
While the Irish government is busy examining the uses of social media and the responsible uses thereof, and of course, you know, there is a broader issue. We're concerned about the effect of social media as a bullying tool. In other arenas, it's being used as an effective propaganda tool. In a brilliant piece for the New Inquiry magazine, Hugh Lemmy looks at how the Israeli Defence Forces have made effective use of social media, particularly Twitter and Instagram, as well as YouTube, in telling their version of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And Hugh joins us on the line. Hugh, good evening to you.
Good evening.
So the strategy, can it be called a strategy? Was it defined from above, or was it simply the IDF recognising the online habits of ordinary IDF members?
Well, I think it was a matter of both, really. The IDF have always been at the forefront of the sort of laboratory of war, testing new techniques, whether it's on the ground or in propaganda. And so I think they have sort of made an effort to observe what's going on within social media and how, the way that people use it. But really, the strategy is designed from above. And they've used the network to see what people are producing on their own social media feeds, what people like to share, what people like to show to their friends. And then they take those ideas and they run them themselves and insert their own propaganda into similar styles.
And you, like, in terms of, say, the recent conflict, the recent assault on the Gaza Strip, you've been looking through, say, all those tweets and everything, and how much did they form kind of a pre-planned strategy, or how much were they kind of just tweeting on the cuff, you know what I mean? Oh, this has happened. Or how much could you kind of see a pattern in that, you know, they knew as it goes out what they were going to be tweeting and when?
Oh, well, it was definitely a pre-planned strategy to a certain extent. I mean, the current conflict started with the assassination of the Hamas military chief Ahmed Jabari, and literally within minutes there was a tweet with a photoshopped version of his face talking about the assassination. There was video footage put on YouTube within 10 or 20 minutes of the assassination strike. So that was obviously pre-planned, and there was a lot of images and it was ready to go. But as the campaign went on, and they saw what was effective in terms of propaganda, they ran with certain things, they dropped certain ideas. So, for example, they started to tweet on an almost daily basis at the height of the campaign the number of rockets that had been fired into Israel, the number that had been taken down by the Israeli missile defense, and these sort of things. So they saw what was popular. They saw, for example, another thing that got a lot of shares is they compared the attacks upon Israel to how would you feel, for example, if it was in London or if it was in New York. Yeah. And those things got a lot of retweets, so therefore they ran with them and they utilised them a lot more.
And looking through the article, the particularly effective use of Instagram, and for anyone who doesn't know what Instagram is, it's a photo sharing app. And we've put up the article with the pictures on our Facebook page. But the images that they've been putting up are incredibly interesting, particularly in the use of their filters. First of all, the subjects are incredibly good looking. They're very attractive people. And they use filters that give them this kind of 60s, 70s look, as if, you know, to kind of put the contemporary conflict into a much more historical context.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, that's just the nature of Instagram in itself. It's a trade, sort of a popular social media network where you share images and you put your image up there, whether it's of your Starbucks or of your dog or something, and you apply these filters to it on the website, which give it a sort of 60s or 70s look. But I think it was particularly effective in the way that the Israeli Defense Force used it, because it contextualized those images within the sort of national myth of Israel. So, for example, the images really were sort of quite resonant of, say, images from the Six-Day War in 1967 or of the Yom Kippur War in 73. They have that same quality. So, therefore, ideologically, it tied the current assault on Gaza to the original wars, which have already been justified within the Israeli national myth.
And we got a text in here from Rebecca in D6, and she asked an interesting question. She was wondering if how much an impression they've made, and like, are the IDF interacting with the general public on Instagram or Twitter? Are they replying to questions put to them or anything like that?
Yes, they do. They have a hashtag that they use called IDFgram, which they use on their Instagram account and also on Twitter. And there's a very fluid interaction between the images that are produced by the IDF and circulated by their own photographers and their own team, and then the way they use the images that are produced by their own soldiers of these very sort of attractive young Israeli men and women sort of in the desert, on manoeuvres, and also on their downtime, hanging out with their friends and things. And so there's a very sort of fluid relationship between the two, which really is quite effective in blurring the idea that propaganda is this thing that is imposed down by a state or by a national government, and that actually everyone involved in the military campaign, there's an equality that's going on there. It's a flattened network. So that everyone is part of the same battle already, which creates this very sort of cohesive national myth, which is the aim of propaganda in the first place.
And, we got another text in, and it refers to the desensitization of the general public towards warfare, to, that somehow that we might consider these pictures of weaponry and soldiers in uniform pretty or attractive. He calls it insane. But I suppose that the people doing it consider it an effective use of a propaganda tool. I mean, is the idea then that what it's saying about IDF troops is that they're just like us, that they just happen to be doing, they happen to be here, but it could be you or me doing that?
Well, I guess that's the aim of the propaganda, is to desensitize it, to remove the idea that actually what's happening at the other end of these sort of missiles is a lot of human suffering and death within Gaza. It is insane, I'd say. But the whole point is to remove you from that and to build an idea of a national community.
And Hugh, how much can we predict about kind of future Israeli action? Because I think it was only days after the recent assault on Gaza ended that they were tweeting like links to videos of their latest missile defense shield in operation, and links to statements from high ranking IDF officers kind of referring to Iran and in kind of quite belligerent terms. So like, how much can we kind of look at what they're doing at the moment, say on Instagram and Twitter, as indicative of maybe kind of a possible assault on Iranian nuclear bases or something like that?
Well, I'm no military strategist, so I couldn't really comment with much authority on that. But I think it's the use of Instagram and Twitter, and the way they have conducted their propaganda campaign, really shows that they are at the forefront of really critically thinking about the way that they undergo war. So, for example, after 2005, when they theoretically withdrew unilaterally from Gaza, they actually didn't withdraw. They just pulled out their ground troops because they'd realized that with their new technology, they can control Gaza from the air.
Yeah.
So this was part of their ongoing campaign of it looks like they're making a big gesture of withdrawing troops, but in reality, they're just saving their troops and they can rain terror down from above. So in terms of what's going to go on in Iran, I imagine they've been thinking very, very cleverly about their strategy.
Can we guess as to why, if the IDF are, the vanguard of the best use of social media as a propaganda tool, then why, by contrast, the Palestinians are so awful at it? In comparison, even say to Al-Qaeda, for example, or other Islamic movements, which have made very effective use of YouTube and other online media, it seems that the Palestinians just seem much more clumsy about it.
Possibly. I mean, we have to look at it, say that we're looking at it from a Western position, and we are not the audience for Palestinian propaganda.
Yeah.
Palestinian propaganda is produced for the people of Palestine and for other Arab neighbouring states. But I'd say also it's a territory that's completely under siege. I mean, people are struggling to feed their children and to get hospital treatment and clean water and jobs. I mean, unemployment is completely through the roof. So I think, to be honest, devising an intelligent online social media campaign is the last thing on the mind of the average Gazan right now.
Yeah, which is actually a fair point. Hugh Lemmy of New Inquiry magazine, thank you very much for talking to us this evening. And I suppose that is the key point, and is that we're not the target audience. That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.